I'm tipping Italy and England.
It's still on.
It's either coming home or it's time to say goodbye. But we'll see. We'll see.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at GetZetGo.ie.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
You're very welcome along to our build-up ahead of the Lions' third warm-up game for their series with South Africa, the current world champions. It has been beset by plenty of COVID-19 issues, but tonight's game goes ahead in just under an hour's time when the Lions go up against the Sharks. We'll be talking to Tommy Bowe, one of the stars of the 2009 tour against the Box, in a few minutes' time. And Devon Toner will join Neil Tracy for full commentary from 7pm. Neil is with me now. Neil, how are you getting on?
Not too bad, Will, not too bad. We are officially going ahead in just under an hour, thank God. It's been a nervous few hours until we finally got confirmation there, probably at about, what, 20 past five, that this game was in fact going ahead after a positive COVID case in the Lions camp involving a member of management and obviously some players who would have to self-isolate as a result. And I'm not sure, have you seen it? I've just seen it now in the last couple of minutes. There have been changes made to the Lions team in the last couple of minutes. I can give you them now if you don't have them.
Go for it, yeah.
They're all coming in the back line and on the subs bench. The forwards pack is as it was named a couple of days ago, but in the back line, a number of changes. Four, in fact. The halfbacks are completely different now. Gareth Davies and Dan Biggar have both been ruled out of tonight's game. Ali Price is coming in at scrum half, and Owen Farrell is going to start at number 10. Both of those players who started at 9 and 10, Ali Price started at scrum half the last day. Owen Farrell was in the centre. He's at number 10 this evening. On the right wing, Louis Rees-Sammet is coming in place of Anthony Watson. Rees-Sammet scoring the opening try in the win against the Sigma Lions on Saturday. And then at fullback, Liam Williams is also gone. Josh Adams is going to come in to start his third game in a row on tour. Five tries so far for him in the opening two matches, after one against Japan and four the other night against the Sigma Lions as well. So that is how the back line looks at the moment. Ali Price at scrum half, Owen Farrell at out half, Duane van der Merwe stays on the left wing, Lewis Rees-Sammet starts on the right wing now, Bundiaki and Elliot Daly remain in the centres with Josh Adams at full back. And then there are a number of changes as well to the bench. The replacement front rows stay as you were, with Ken Owens, Rory Sutherland and Tadhg Furlong, the trio who started the opening game against Japan. Maro Itoje comes into the bench. He's going to replace Tadhg Byrne, who's had to be ruled out. Jack Conan stays there. Conor Murray is not going to be captaining the Lions at any stage today. The stand-in captain after Alan Wynne-Jones was ruled out of the tour was due to be on the bench this evening. He's now also been ruled out. So Finn Russell is going to come in the number 21 jersey. He's also the only backline player who's going to be on the subs bench tonight. It's a 7-1 split for the Lions on the subs bench. I don't think that's by choice. It certainly seems like it's a necessity. Stuart Hogg is also then out to be replaced by Hamish Watson in the number 22 jersey. And wearing number 23 tonight is going to be Talupe Faletau, with Chris Harris also ruled out. So I'm going to start 1 to 15 to run through with again to remind people. It's Maka Vunipola, Luke Cowan-Dickie and Xander Fagerson starting. Ian Henderson captaining the side in the second row alongside Adam Beard making his Lions debut. Another two Lions debutants in the back row then. Josh Navidi at 6 and Tom Curry at 7, while Sam Simmons starts at 8. Ali Price and Owen Farrell in the halfbacks. Lewis Rees-Sammet and Duane van der Merwe on the wings. Bundiaki and Elliot Daly are in the centres, with Josh Adams at fullback. And then on the bench, as I said, only one back in the substitutes among the eight players on the bench. That is Finn Russell, while Ken Owens, Rory Sutherland, Tadhg Furlong, Maro Itoje, Jack Conan, Hamish Watson and Talupe Faletau make up the rest of the subs bench. So plenty of changes in the last few minutes to the Lions team that was named just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, unless we're going to see some back rowers playing in the backs in this game, the backs are going to have a long night, with the exception of one who might get to come out at some point in the second half. They did say we'd see Owen Farrell playing at 10 and 12 in the warm-up games, maybe a bit earlier than expected, with those late enforced changes. We'll get Tommy Bowe's thoughts on that in a moment. But Neil, when it comes to the COVID-19, you know, we know at this stage the Bulls game, which was going to be the one possible big test for the Lions in terms of the warm-up matches. They've only lost two since 1968 against the club teams. They were meant to get a test against the Bulls, but that's off due to COVID. We know South Africa and Georgia are off after the 11 new cases in the Springboks camp and four in the Georgian camp. Not ideal preparation ahead of the test in a couple of weeks' time.
No, it's certainly not. And it's funny, I think a lot of people might have said that the Lions tour had become a little bit too professional over recent years. Well, we've had last minute kickoff changes aplenty over the last couple of days. We've had last minute, replacements to the teams and stuff. Today, we've had games called off, scrambling around for opposition. It's certainly harking back to maybe days of about 50 or 60 years ago, if you're talking amateur tours. But it's been, absolute upheaval, and it's something we probably expected over the last week or so as the COVID situation has just got out of control in South Africa. If you were looking ahead maybe as far as the South Africa A game when they get there, since the Springbok game against Georgia has been called off for this Friday, it's possible enough, I would say, that we might actually see some of the frontline Springbok players playing in the South Africa A game in a couple of weeks' time, because they're going to need some game time themselves. They've only had one test since the Rugby World Cup final in 2019, and they obviously needed a second run out this weekend against Georgia. So I think we could actually end up seeing in a couple of weeks' time that South Africa A game against the Lions almost looking like, ever so slightly like a fourth test.
Yeah, the other thing as well, Neil, we're all kind of pondering at the moment, and I appreciate it's all playing out in front of us as we preview the game, whether any of those players who've had to be pulled from tonight's game, whether that's a close contact situation. The PCR tests were only coming back about an hour ago ahead of kickoff, so it'll probably be a while before we know if any of those withdrawals are due to COVID-19.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, they did say in their initial statement earlier on this afternoon that there were some players deemed as close contact. So, as you say, we know the players who have all been taken out of tonight's side. Some of those could be, they are absolutely deemed as close contact. Some of those could be COVID positives as well, because they have had some tests done this afternoon before they were cleared to play. And then also as well, there could just be some players who are just withdrawn as a precaution in case they might have been a close contact. But it's been an incredibly difficult couple of hours. I know they only apparently left for the stadium just after about 5:30, or just after 5 o'clock. In the evening with the game at 7, a roughly 40-minute journey to Emirates Airline Park where they're playing this evening. So preparation not ideal. I'd say they're not going to get too much of a warm-up out on the pitch. It's probably going to be quite quick, quite fast, and then straight into a game at altitude. So I wouldn't really be expecting the Lions to come out absolutely firing from the start this evening.
Well, look, Tommy Bowe was on both the tour of 2009 and 2013. Unfortunately, he suffered an injury in 2013, but played a starring role in all three tests in 2009. He's with us now. Tommy, how are you getting on?
Good evening, guys. I'm only just coming up to date with those changes as well. Certainly in 2009 and 13, we never had to deal with anything like this. This is unheard of stuff. It's a match, and that's exactly what the Lions need. It's very positive from their point of view that they can field a team and play this match tonight, because whatever about the Springboks not having played a match in 20 months, the Lions need to gel together quickly. And this match tonight will be a perfect opportunity to try and build on that win last weekend.
I appreciate, Tommy, it is entirely unprecedented, the idea of so many players having to be withdrawn so close to kickoff. But as a player, what would that experience be like? Because you're obviously running combinations in training for the last couple of days. The team will have been named. You know who you're playing alongside. You're trying to get that cohesion. And next thing, some major changes, including like the halfbacks being entirely changed just a couple of hours before kickoff.
Do you know what? If this was an Ireland camp or even in a provincial setup, you would be really panicking and wondering what the hell they're going to do. But actually in the Lions, this is what it's all about, because we don't know. The combinations are not set. They're only getting to know each other. They're all working on a fairly simple game plan. So it's an opportunity for guys to slot in, another opportunity for them to impress. And it's the guys who are missing out. They're the guys I feel for, because there's very limited chances for these players to put their hand up for a test match. And you think of the likes of Liam Williams, you think of the likes of Anthony Watson, guys out wide. When you see Josh Adams playing so well at the weekend, you see the likes of Stuart Hogg playing so well. Like, these guys need the game time. So it's difficult for those players to miss out, but another brilliant opportunity for players to step in. And I think this is actually another positive side of having Warren Gatland as coach. He doesn't play the most elaborate game plan. They're not trying to set the world alight. They've a fairly straightforward game plan that they're learning over a short period of time. So they can all slot into positions very quickly. And I think that you know, without the pressure of maybe getting up for a game like this, they can slot in and get ready to go. And it's just really how the bodies hold up, having played that match on Saturday at altitude. And you can see that will take a lot out of their bodies.
Just to read the statement which has come in from the Lions in the last few moments. They say they confirmed that one player and a member of the Lions management team has tested positive for COVID-19 following the PCR testing as part of their screening program, which took place earlier today. The two individuals had a total of 12 close contacts, 8 players and 4 staff members, all of whom have been placed into isolation at the team hotel. All other members of the touring party returned negative results following PCR testing, which took place earlier today. So that's a couple of members of the management team and a player who are confirmed COVID-19 cases, and then the 12 close contacts as well. So, Tommy, I guess that probably explains a lot of the composition with just one back on the bench for tonight in Finn Russell then.
You have to think it's a backs coach, really, or some of the back coaches that potentially have got the virus at the minute. And yes, it's probably from a unit session. If you look at a lot of the players who've come in, the likes of Josh Adams, this is his third start, so he definitely wouldn't have been playing. He was probably rested up and not really taking part in a lot of those unit sessions. Reece Samet the same, Connor Murray the same. So yeah, you would have to think that somebody within that back setup, which is pretty obvious, but isn't it great that they still have enough players that can fulfill the fixture? Because, you know, you have to wonder if the Lions couldn't field a team for the Sharks match today, with the Bulls match being called off next weekend, the situation with the South African side, whether that A match next weekend, would that even go ahead? It would be, you know, there'll be a lot of questions going into this tour. I think the fact that they can play this match tonight means that it keeps the tour alive, keeps the wheels going, and hopefully come next Wednesday, like Neil mentioned, you know, South Africa need to put a pretty strong side out. And I would say Warren Gatland is going to go a very strong side too, because he needs his players to get up to match sharpness. Because we saw that game against the Lions last weekend. Yes, it was run out, but it wasn't competitive. If they want to be match sharp going into a test match against the Springboks, they need a tough test.
Do you require that, Tommy, if you're a player going out on tour, just to actually be somewhat sharp going in? Because you look at the New Zealand tour of even just a few years ago in 2017, where the Lions got some tough games. It meant that they were actually ready to go for their first test against New Zealand. I would imagine when you're coming in and you're trying to get together as a group, you would like to get a couple of decent tests before you play the box.
Without a doubt, Will. You think back to the last tour, the tour in 2009, in that first test match. The Lions going into that first test, we were full of confidence, playing some great rugby. The camaraderie within the group is great. The confidence was high. All of a sudden, we walked out onto that pitch, and the first 5-10 minutes, I've never seen an intensity like it. The Springboks came at us like a freight train, and it took us a long time to really get ourselves back into the game. And we did come back into it in the second half, but Warren Gatland will have learned from that. And he knows, even watching the Springboks in the World Cup, they will come out of the blocks fast. And the Lions need to kind of get up to that match sharpness. It's easy playing these games and working on combinations, but the closer to the test matches, they'll need these tougher test games and to really put the guys under pressure to get the lungs working. Because as you mentioned there, they are playing at altitude, but whenever you're winning by 30 and 40 points, you can kind of take the foot off the gas a little bit, where when it comes to a test match, you won't have that opportunity. You have to be full gung-ho for 80 minutes. So yeah, that South Africa A match against the Lions, it would be really interesting to see what way it lines out.
And Stuart Hogg was saying last week, they're still getting used to altitude at this stage. Even in terms of his kicking, he was noticing how much further the ball would actually travel, and was just it took a few days to actually even get up to speed with that, whatever, but your lungs may be hurting a little bit more when you're up that far up from sea level.
There's a lot to be said that potentially these matches might not even happen in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. Now, given the COVID situation over there as well, that it is at a really bad state, the third wave in Johannesburg at the minute. Cape Town is not quite at the same level. I don't think it's going the right direction, but there is a lot of talk that all three test matches could be moved to Cape Town, which would, of course, be at sea level. My question is, at this stage, given the cases in both camps at the minute, and given what you're seeing in the Euros and Wimbledon, is there a case 2 weeks out from the tour, the first test match, to fly both teams up to the UK, play a match in Cardiff, a match in Twickenham, and a match up in Murrayfield? you know, the way I see it at the moment, that's probably a better possibility than the way they're going at the minute in South Africa.
Yeah, because we had South African journalist Peter Dutoit on the show last week, and he was making almost that exact point, which is that with the Lions not travelling around the way they normally would for a tour, the school visits aren't happening, the trips into towns aren't happening, they're in their bubble, they're just going along to play in empty stadiums. He was saying you'd be as well off to play in front of a partial crowd in Hong Kong or the Middle East than actually play in South Africa. It doesn't make much of a difference to the South African public if it doesn't happen on South African soil.
Now, I have to agree. Listen, I was 100% behind the tour going to South Africa at the start. When I heard it was going ahead, I was really excited about it. But I think back to whenever I was involved in the Lions, and it is the most special time because it is the top of the top. To represent your country was always my dream. But the Lions was beyond that. To get picked as one of the best players from the four countries, you know, it is the pinnacle. But what makes the Lions really special is when you were in Johannesburg or Cape Town or Sydney, this sea of red, 30, 40, 50,000 supporters just taking over a city. It is mind-boggling. And there's no, it's kind of like football, but in rugby, we don't see that too often. So that's what makes the Lions special. So the players aren't getting that. They're not getting out to visit, yes, the townships or the schools or even to go down for a cup of coffee on the seafront. So what's the point? You know, they're stuck in a hotel. They're stuck in a bubble. They're probably going to be fed off each other after. If you think this is a 6-week tour, that is a long stint to be in a team hotel with a group of guys who you don't really know that well. And you're trying your best to get to know each other as best as you can. But it will become difficult the further the tour goes along. And particularly if there's not going to be games, the first line team will be happy. They'll be concentrating on the test matches. But think about the other 20 lads who aren't even involved. They've no other matches during those three test matches. And I think it's going to be a difficult tour. And that's going to be a really big challenge for Conor Murray, first-time captain, and Warren Gatland to try and keep those other guys motivated.
Well, it's going to be a challenge for the guys who usually make the DVD or video of the tour as well. Like, yeah. Usually these sell extremely well afterwards. Like, the COVID tour will be interesting in and of itself, maybe to get a bit of background. But you're not going to see the banter. You're not going to see the trips. You're not going to see the guys swimming in the sea this time around.
There's only so much playing table tennis in the team room that can show, really, isn't it?
If anything, I'd actually be looking forward to seeing what goes into it, to actually see, like, what our team's doing in the bubble. Because I would have always grown up watching those DVDs. I remember we got the 2001 one. That was the first one we got at Christmas, myself and my brother, that year. And then a few years later, we discovered there was this great 1997 one. So we always would have picked them up along the years and along the tours. And, you know, to be honest, over maybe the last couple of years, the DVDs and the videos from it, they've probably become a little bit sanitized and maybe a little bit managed a bit better for what you're actually seeing. But I genuinely would be curious to like, I think you could get an excellent insight into what is going on in the bubbles and how players are having to interact and having some way of bonding when, as you say, you're not able to go out to the coffee shops, you're not able to go out and have a few pints together or go down onto the beach and have an old recovery swim or something like that, or even just the general day trips going out around the schools and the clubs to get to know the communities. I actually would be fascinated to see what is going on inside in all those camps.
Neil, just like to Tommy's point as well about, you know, what could happen with the rest of this tour, is it too dramatic to think that it could actually be taken out of South Africa just for the three tests?
I wouldn't say it's too dramatic at all. It's something I hadn't actually thought too much about that until you had brought it up a couple of minutes ago. And on the face of it, like, I mean, it absolutely does make sense as an option. Now, I suppose the only other part of it is that once they finish this evening's game against the Sharks, they're out of Johannesburg until potentially the last test, if everything goes to plan. They're due back on Saturday the 7th for the third test in Johannesburg. But after this, they're due down to Pretoria. Now, I know they're trying to arrange potentially a game on Saturday against some other opposition, so that may or may not be in Loftus-Versfeld in Pretoria. But after that, they're down in Cape Town for a few games. And sorry, it's actually for the second test, they're due to be back in Johannesburg on the 31st of July. But I'm sure they would probably look at maybe moving everything to Cape Town, because as you said, the COVID situation isn't as serious as it is up in the Gauteng province, to move it down to Cape Town. And I'd say potentially maybe having games in the UK or somewhere else would probably be the last resort. But I certainly wouldn't think it's off the table at the moment. I would say any viable offer or any viable solution is definitely on the table right now.
Tommy, would you have had any reservations about actually travelling if you'd been called up for this tour, if this was a few years ago?
No, not at all. I would be 100% on the plane if it was me. And that all the Lions players are double vaccinated. Now, we are seeing, obviously, that doesn't mean that you are immune to the virus, but it means that you would hope people are safe from getting seriously ill. I have heard from somebody, I think, in Sky Sports that said, actually, the South African team are only single vaccinated. They haven't had their second one yet. I don't know if that is 100% true or not, but that is what I'd heard. It might explain why 11 cases were in the camp. But it's not just the players, it's the management team. I kind of think, you think of Paddy O'Reilly, you think of Ralla down there in South Africa, who, of course, he would be vaccinated. But I'd fear for some of the older management guys, you know, how comfortable are they that they're there, they're stuck in this bubble and potentially could pick up the virus in a country like South Africa where they're not too sure of how well they're going to get looked after? Would they prefer to be back home? So there's a lot of things like that, a lot of man management that's going to be going on. But certainly from the players' point of view, I would imagine they would be 100% positive. They're happy to continue on. And listen, you look at the Euros again. I think I'm right in saying Tony Cruz, he had coronavirus maybe before the tournament. I think Busquets from Spain, he had the virus. I think two Swedish players. So it shows that the Euros was able to continue with that situation going on and players getting COVID in the camp. So I think that the Lions players will be able to continue and they'll be happy to do so.
Well, the 2021 British and Irish Lions tour on OTB Sports brought to you by Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. Let's hear from one of Tommy's former Ulster teammates then. Ian Henderson is captain of the Lions for the first time this evening and he's been talking about what that experience is going to mean to him.
I'm incredibly excited and looking forward to it. Been preparing really well for it. Off the back of that game at the weekend, we had a real good session out of this morning. Looking forward to another one this afternoon. So we'll got our heads together and got a good game plan in place. So excitement's probably my overwhelming feeling.
Tommy, Ian Henderson succeeded Rory Best as the Ulster captain, so he's got experience of captaincy at provincial level. One game captaining Ireland, which was the loss against France in the Six Nations. Outside of that, he's a pretty new skipper here.
Yeah, he is a pretty new skipper, but he's always had leadership qualities. He's a guy who, coming through the ranks, I would have always seen as captain material. He's an incredibly, incredibly intelligent guy. And I actually think where I have seen Ian Henderson playing his best rugby is when he's been challenged by people who he has a huge amount of respect for. And I think that you just look at what Paul O'Connell has done since he's come into the Irish setup, that Ian Henderson's game has just gone to a new level. I remember when John O'Gibbs came into Ulster, he really challenged Ian Henderson to try and bring out the best in him. And again, he brought up to that new level. You think of the last Lions tour, Steve Borthwick as well. So I think Ian Henderson, the higher the challenge goes, the better he responds to it. But it is an incredible honour for him to captain the side tonight. But it is a difficult situation, given he didn't know pretty much up to probably an hour ago whether the game was even going to go ahead or not. So it's funny, my daughter and son go to the same creche as his kids. And I just pulled up outside and his wife was going in to collect their kids. And I could even just see the stress on her face to not even bother asking what the situation is at the minute. So, yeah, I can imagine it's difficult for everybody in the Lions camp, but particularly for Ian Henderson, a special day for him, a day where he'd be so proud to be going out and leading the Lions, but with so much disarray, it can't be easy.
Yeah, look, his performances were very good in the Six Nations, which guaranteed his call-up from Warren Gatland. It's a very competitive position, the second row, and we hear about Mario Todgi coming onto the bench for this evening's game too. Is Henderson well-placed to actually get a place for the test team now, particularly given he's been picked as one of the midweek captains?
Yeah, I actually think that he is definitely going to push for a starting spot. I don't know much about the lineouts and forwards play too much, but I've heard Ian Henderson is an exceptionally good lineout caller, and particularly that's something that Paul O'Connell took him under his wing. And I spoke to Hendy quite a bit about this whenever Paulie got the nod, that they actually used to meet up a lot for coffee, would be on the phone to each other a huge amount. So Maro Itoje isn't a lineout caller as far as I know. So Ian Henderson has an opportunity to go into that test team as the lineout caller, and as such, he's such a physical specimen, and you need that going up against the likes of Luke De Jager and Estebeth, these guys who are just monsters. So if you think a second row with Ian Henderson, maybe a Maro Itoje beside him, and a Byrne in the back row or Courtney Laws playing at six, you know, that's three big, big men taking on that South African forward pack.
Well, fingers crossed Byrne doesn't have to isolate for too long and he'll get a chance to play in the next set of games. We'll ask Devin Toner a lot more about the line-out calls and perhaps who should be in the second row. He's the man with the expertise in that regard.
But he'd probably tell me Ian Henderson's never called a line-out in his life.
We can ask you about centre because you had to stand in there in the third test against South Africa. Firstly, we can hear a bit from Keith Wood, who's been talking about the role of Owen Farrell so far and his feeling that maybe Farrell isn't being used to his best ability currently.
I think Farrell is a proper test beast. I think, to be honest, the Lions used him really poorly at the weekend. And I do want to just touch on one other thing that Niamh said, whether people have played. I don't think anybody has played themselves onto the test team from that, and you couldn't have. You can't, even if you play really well, you can only do what you can do against the team that you're playing against. You can't read too much into that at all. You can't read the fact that some guys have been training together for 3 weeks and some guys for 7 days, that you can say that these guys are going to be there or not. So I don't think that that's a fair reflection. And Gatland has already said it, that he's going to really look at how players are training and playing and doing it. But if you're using Farrell as a crashing 12, that's a stupid thing to do. I mean, that's not what he is. He is the reason to have it, which, and we've had this discussion, first 5'8", second 5'8" in New Zealand. It's the two playmakers at 10 and 12. That idea of having another playmaker, it doesn't mean you crash him into people. There's just a pointless use of it. You wouldn't want to do it with your 10. I was looking at something on just on the same point of tens. Marcus Smith played against the States for England at the weekend on Sunday. He's a guy who can pass the ball like a kick, and nearly as fast as a kick. His passing is just a joy to watch. But I saw him running in to be part of a tackle, and the opportunity was for him to go in and win the ruck. Or compete in the ruck. I'm not going to say win the ruck, compete in the ruck. And he didn't. He stepped out and out of the way. And I was half thinking, is that a little bit cowardly?
I was just going to say, that's how I would play the game there. That'd be my instinct.
No, and I said, actually, no, because I don't want my 10 to be bridging over a ruck and having some big, hefty front row forward running in and bashing in on top of him. Yeah. I want him to be back outside, you know. And I just thought he is a high level of preservation that some of the guys don't have. And there's nothing cowardly about him because he's a fantastic defender. But so I think you need your 10s and your playmakers to play like 10s and playmakers. Sure. You don't need them to be the hard-carrying guy up. And even at 12, you might do it an odd time, but I thought they did it too much at the weekend.
Right, Tommy, let's put you on the Lions selection committee here. Owen Farrell, better deployed at 10 or at 12?
I think that, personally, I think given the impact himself and Johnny Sexton had on the last Lions series against New Zealand, I think they turned around the series. And I think Warren Gatland has that in the back of his mind. He didn't go well at the weekend. Himself and Finn Russell, they didn't quite click, which I'm sure Warren Gatland and Gregor Townsend will be a little bit concerned about. But if I think about the South African line speed, and that is what they were so, so good at in the World Cup, we can't take them on by just trying to bash into them. I think that we're going to need to see Owen Farrell as a second ball player. And one thing that really stuck out to me in the two matches I've seen so far is this play where they had Finn Russell with three forwards outside him. And normally the out half will hit the second forward, who'll either tip it on or throw it out the back. But actually what Finn Russell does, he zips it across to the third guy, which will bring all the defence right up. And the third guy pulled it out the back. The third forward pulled it out the back to Farrell. And that set away Chris Harris out wide to chip it over for Lurie Zammit's try. That's two times I've seen them do that. And that would be a great tactic for trying to get outside this Springbok line speed and their defence. So I would see Owen Farrell definitely starting as 12, whether it's going to be Bigger or Finn Russell at 10. I would think he was probably interested to see how Bigger went today. But because Bigger is out, Farrell is now starting at 10 because he needs the game time. I'd say they've given him the opportunity to go in, get some more game time under his belt. Finn Russell has gone onto the bench. And the way I would see it going forward, potentially next weekend, it'd be really interesting to see if Robbie Henshaw's back fit again. I would say that you'd have Owen Farrell and Robbie Henshaw partnering each other in the centre.
Yeah, it's important.
Tommy, if I could ask you about Robbie Henshaw, because as you mentioned, like hopefully he's back fit in a week, and hopefully it's not too much longer after that. But obviously they've had to give him a little bit of extra time that you don't really want to have to be giving people on Lions tours. Just to put you back in the situation you were in 2013, it was probably a bit more severe when you got that bad injury. And I think everyone at the time probably thought it was tour over for Tommy Bow, and they allowed you to get your surgery on it. And lo and behold, you were back in for the test team. How much confidence and belief would that have given you that, you know, a lot of other players, I would imagine, would have been told, unfortunately, your tour is over, you're going to have to go home. But you were obviously told, no, we're going to give you as much time as you need, because they clearly wanted you to be around there. How much of a boost would that give a player mentally?
I think that, listen, I was very fortunate. 2013, it was my second match on the tour. I broke my metacarpal in my hand. It split right down the middle. And the team doctors told me, if that's a fracture, you're going home. But thankfully, it was actually an Australian surgeon over there. He saw the x-ray and said, if I could put up with a bit of pain, he put 3 screws into it and told me I could be back out on the pitch in 3 weeks. So I think Warren Gatland did feel my tour was over when he heard I could be back available and training for the week of the second test. He obviously felt I had an opportunity to make it onto that test team, and he kept me on, and I was so grateful for it. And I think Robbie Henshaw is a guy he has earmarked for that test team, no doubt about it. So he will do whatever he has to do to keep Robbie Henshaw in the camp, getting himself back fit again. If he can play one more match before the test matches, he'll be back in. I'd be really interested. I don't know if I could see Alan Wynne-Jones come back into the touring squad again, but again, another leader like that, Warren Gatland loves pulling a rabbit out of a hat. You know, it wouldn't be too surprised somewhere down the line, Alan Wynne comes back with his shoulder strapped up and could come back into the test matches somewhere down the line.
If we take it that there's a very good chance then that Owen Farrell will play at 12 and Robbie Henshaw at 13 as the first choice, Bundy Aki's probably got a job on his hands in these next couple of warm-up games to prove that he should be beside Henshaw. Maybe Farrell might have to shift a bit to the left.
Yeah, listen, if Owen Farrell doesn't have a good game again, then questions do need to start to be answered, because he didn't have a good Six Nations. He's been playing in the level below the Premiership all year. So if he is a small bit off, Warren Gatland will have to make a decision quite soon on. And the best thing that Bundy Aki can do is keep putting his hand up. He played really well in that first match. If he can keep showing that he can get over the gain line, and again, that against South Africa, if Owen Farrell is at 12, he's not the crash bang centre that you'd be expecting. Robbie Henshaw will have to do a lot of that carrying. One of the wingers, whether then a Doohan van der Merwe comes in who can get you over the gain line, a Liam Williams and Anthony Watson, so that they can free it up out wide. So it'll be really interesting to see. I think for Bundy Aki's point of view, though, he played really well in that Japan game. If he can show that he can get over the gain line, but also have the handle and ability to kind of get the ball out wide, to shift it out to space against the Sharks tonight, it's another step forward for him. And potentially, you know, he's picked as a real wild card. And the reason he's picked is because Warren Gatland likes the look of him. He's caused the likes of Wales, he's caused the likes of Scotland trouble in years gone by, and we know he's a big game player.
Okay, I appreciate we've been talking about the centre, but given your wing experience as well, who stands out at the moment as the best wing options for the Lions then?
Keith Wood was talking about no players are nailed on yet, and absolutely not. But I think Josh Adams, with 5 tries and 2 matches, and he's looked really sharp. Yes, a couple of the tries were run-ins, but if you think even back to the Wales squad with Warren Gatland there, he scored a try against South Africa in the World Cup semi-final. Warren Gatland knows he can trust him. And going into these test matches, that's what it's going to come down to. Who can he trust? Who's done it for him before? Because they're running out of test matches. They're running out of warm-up matches to really put their hand up. So Josh Adams would be one player I think is definitely nailed on. Personally, I would have thought that Warren Gatland was looking at a Liam Williams at 15 instead of a Stuart Hogg, which might be a bit debatable. But I know that he trusts Liam Williams, and he'd be very good under the likes of the high balls and stuff. And I thought Stuart Hogg being named as captain last weekend with not a very strong side, I thought that maybe was an earmark for that way. And I think then Anthony Watson could potentially push his way into the other wing. So that's, I see a Josh Adams Liam Williams and Watson back three. But listen, it is a really hotly contested lineup in the back three. Who knows what he's going to go for?
Yeah, and I'd imagine Warren Gatland has to have an eye, Tommy, as well on the defensive side of the game with the players he's going to pick in his back three too. I mean, there's some real runners that are going to be going the other way against you too. So while you've got guys who are free scoring tries currently in the warm-up games, their defensive solidity could well play a big role in selection when it comes around.
Yeah, but Josh Adams did very well up against Nkosi in that South African match. Up against the likes of Colby, it doesn't matter who's going to be defending him. That actually comes down to the likes of the Robbie Henshaws and the Owen Farrells and their work rate on the inside. I always remember trying to mark someone like Shane Williams, who was like a Colby. You could never mark him one-on-one because he had such quick feet. He'd go outside you, inside you. He'd go under your legs. I mean, you just couldn't mark him. So it's all about having the likes of a Brian O'Driscoll inside me, telling me, push him up, push him into the touchline, and know that if he steps back in, that's when a Brian O'Driscoll, or say this time around, a Robbie Henshaw will clatter him into touch. So with a player like that, you have to defend him in numbers. And that's why I like the likes of Owen Farrell, because you see the work rate of him. He will keep talking, and himself and Robbie Henshaw could form a really good, interesting defensive partnership.
Well, we'll get more of an insight when the game comes around in less than half an hour's time. Tommy, thanks a million for joining us.
Guys, thanks very much. Enjoy the match.
Thanks.
Neil Tracy's still with us as well. We'll be talking to Devon Toner in a moment. Neil, when it comes to the challenge that the Lions are going to face at 7 p.m, 9 Springboks players involved with the Sharks, they're all away in the camp currently. And they've got 4 players who are away with the South African under-20s. With the way things are with the modern series, and particularly with the, you know, the safe bubbles that they have to go into at this stage, it does leave some of these sides that will be played on the tour quite weakened compared to the teams they could have played in the Rainbow Cup, for example.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And as you mentioned there, like 9 of the CLC Sharks players are away on Springbok duty at the moment. Even going back as far as the Sigma Lions game last Saturday, they were only missing 1, maybe 2 players away with that Springbok side in that bubble. And on tours past, you would have seen maybe some of the fringe players of the international squad being released back to their clubs, like the Sharks or the Stormers or whoever, to be able to play these games. But that's not the way it is at the moment. Now, having said all that, it is, I suppose, a settled side that the Sharks have been playing over the last couple of weeks, because it is more or less what they have been going with in these opening 2 rounds they've played of the Currie Cup. They've won 1 game, they've lost 1 game. Even looking across the forwards pack that they have here this evening, 7 of those 8 players started their last 2, they started both of their games in the Currie Cup. The only one of those players that didn't is Pepsi Buthelezi, who missed out on one of those games. So, like, it is a largely settled squad they have in there. They do have some exciting young players in there as well. You look at the bench where they've got Ntutuku Mchunu, I'm just going back over those pronunciations. He's an incredibly exciting loosehead prop. Scored an absolutely blistering try earlier on the season from about the halfway. So much acceleration. He's a converted back row player as well. And looking through some of those other guys as well, a name that might pop out is Jaden Hendrickse. The Hendrickse name would have been recognisable from the Lions squad on Saturday that took on the British and Irish Lions, of Jordan Hendrickse, who played out half. His older brother Jaden starts at scrum half this evening here as well. And they do have one former Springbok. I say former Springbok. He's had 2 caps for South Africa over the last few years, but hasn't been involved with the sides in the last 3 years. That's Kerwin Bosch at out half, a player who came in for a huge amount of criticism after they lost the Currie Cup final earlier on this season. He had an absolutely disastrous day with the tee. He missed 5 off the tee and 3 drop goals during that Currie Cup final against the Bulls in January. But look, also as well, it's an opportunity for us to see some of these players that we are going to be more likely to see next season in the United Rugby Championship.
Well, look, Tommy Bowe won 69 caps for Ireland. A man who won 1 more is Devon Toner across 10 years. 4-time European Cup winner with Leinster, and Leinster's most capped player as well. Devon is going to be on co-commentary. Devon, how are you getting on?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me. I didn't do 2 tours though, like Tommy.
No, it's a fair point. Look, we'll swap him off. He doesn't have 4 European Cups, so, you know, it balances out by the end of it. Devon, tell me this, in terms of Ian Henderson, because we were talking about him with Tommy a few minutes ago, just in terms of him being a leader, you've played alongside him. Is he the type of guy who makes a lot of calls on the field? What kind of leader is he?
Do you know what? He's progressed as a leader over the years, and he's kind of the person, he's kind of the player that just, he leads by example, and he's not a big talker on the field. Do you mean? So if something happens, like any time I've been, like I've never actually been captained by him, so there's always been other captains, but I've played against him for Ulster when he's captaining, and like you can see that he's got a lot of respect from all the players, he's got a lot of respect from the opposition, and the referees respect him a lot as well. Do you know what I mean? Because he there's no faff about him. You know what I mean? So he's really direct. He's really to the point. So as I said, he's not a huge talker, but he's just going to lead by what he does in the field. Do you know what I mean? He's going to be front up physically. He's going to be in the line. I say he's going to call a lot of ball himself, just to kind of take that onus on himself. So it's a huge honour for him as well. A huge honour for him, for his family, it's great for his kids as well. Do you know what I mean? To see in a couple of years that their dad got in the line. So it's absolutely delighted for him.
We don't want to read too much into it, Devon, in terms of who's named as the midweek skippers, but much like Stuart Hogg last week, people automatically think maybe he's just ahead of Liam Williams in terms of the selection call for 15. And similarly, if Henderson has been given the captaincy for a midweek game, there's a very good chance he's going to play for the test team.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. Hopefully, with my green tinted glasses on, I'd love to see him start a test, to be honest. And I think he'd be the man for the job. If you're looking at second rows, I don't think you look past Hendy and Matoja, do you know what I mean? With obviously Tig nipping at the heels, and maybe at six, do you know what I mean? There's a lot of options for the line out there. But yeah, I'd love to see Hendy in that starting team.
Do we take it that Mauro Itoje is absolutely nailed on to start then?
I would say so, yeah. I'd say so. I think he'd have to have a couple of pretty bad games leading up to it in order to not, and you can't see that happening. Like from every game I've played against him, from every game I've seen him play, he is the ultimate professional, and he performs every game. Do you know what I mean? So you really can't see him not performing and not being in that test team, to be honest.
You've had to play against him with Saracens and with England playing against Ireland. What's it like to actually play against him?
Yeah, annoying. Yeah. Really annoying. Especially in the liner, because he's obviously really good at getting up in the air. He's really springy. He's got, like, he only really needs one lifter to get him up into the air. So, like, wherever he is, there's always a chance that he's going to get up quick and get up in front of you. Like when it was Cruz and Itoje that we were obviously with Saracens and with England. They were my Achilles heel for a couple of years. So yeah, and I obviously around the breakdown as well. You know what you're going to get from him. He's going to be at the nine. He's going to be counter rooking. He's going to be on the fringes, and he's going to be on that line all the time, you know what I mean? So the one word, and it's a positive word coming from somebody who played against him, is annoying, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think on the face of it, if you want a player to go out there and actually to disrupt things, especially at the breakdown against South Africa, he's the perfect player to do so. If Alan Wynne-Jones hadn't got injured, they probably would have been the two starters, Devon, do you reckon?
Yes and no. I think Alan Wynne obviously was the tour captain, but I would have liked to think that Hendy has been playing a little bit better than him this year. I think obviously Alan Wynne is a warrior, and he's a fantastic leader. And obviously for the tests, he's obviously going to be greatly missed. But whether he was a nailed-on starter, we don't know. You would have liked to think that Hendy was performing a little bit better.
Do you mind if I jump in there? Sorry, Will. Just in terms of the lineouts, Devon, you would have been a player, and still are a player, I suppose, actually, that people always talk about your ability to call lineouts, and it was something that was always put to you as being a real positive in your game. How difficult is that to build up over time? And is it something you've seen a bit more in Ian Henderson over the last few years?
Yeah, it does take time. It does take a few years to learn, I suppose, and it's even harder, obviously, because they're obviously thrown together a couple of weeks ago, and you got to get used to your back rows, you got to get used to your hookers and your props were lifted. So it's a short amount of time to get stuff right. But as line out calling goes, I kind of learned my trade when I was learning off Leo in Leinster. And then when I got in the Ireland squad first, I wasn't calling in Ireland first. I was learning off Paulie. So I learned off a lot of people on the way up, and I only really started calling for Leinster full on, say, 2013, 14, 15, when I started getting, and then obviously with Ireland as well. So it's a thing that you learn off others on the way up, and you got to hone your skill, you got to practice a lot. So I think you rarely see really young guys coming in and calling good at the start of their careers, to be honest.
Probably no great surprise then, Devon, that locks generally tend to go well into their 30s then. Is that a large part of that?
Absolutely. I'm in the prime of my career. I'm 35. still available for selection if someone goes out injured. Now.
There you go. Well, this is your opportunity, Devin, this evening. If there are, if there is an injury, you know, put your case forward. We'll open the floor for you to do it.
Oh my God, I don't know if my wife would be very happy with that.
We're more than happy if he just does analysis in one game and then has to go to South Africa afterwards. When it comes to the challenge that is in terms of facing that South African pack then, Devin, I mean, it probably helps for the touring party who are playing tonight that there's all this disruption with the backs, but at least the front players that were picked for the forward pack are actually not affected by the COVID-19 outbreak and not affected by close contacts, and at least they're able to stake their claim tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, it's the same starting pack, so there obviously should be a bit of cohesion there from the week. What you would probably worry about is later on in the game, 60, 70 minutes, when Laz are coming off the bench, you'd hope that they have the game in the bag at that stage, hopefully. But if there's a bit of to-ing and fro-ing in the line-out and people coming in and who haven't been there in a week and are forgetting line-out calls and getting things wrong, obviously because of their short training window, that's where you can see a bit of... obviously wrong calls happening. So hopefully we won't see that.
Yeah. Tommy Bowe was saying to us it's probably not all that disruptive to the camp because you're kind of slotting in and playing with players you don't know all that well anyway. But the longer term issues, if, say, there's no game rearranged for this weekend, if there's any problems with the South Africa A game, which is due to be played next week, the window of preparation actually could potentially become very short here.
Yeah, I think it's different for forwards and backs as well. I think backs are able to wing it a bit more. You know what I mean? I think they can just pass it to the wing or do a bosh up the middle. But I think when it comes to lineouts, they're so intricate, and there is a lot of learning to go on during the week. That if you're thrown in at the last minute and you don't know your lineout calls, you're kind of screwed. You know, so I think from what I know or what I've heard, I haven't really heard much, but I think. Obviously, I know Robin McBride a bit from Leinster, and he's a fantastic forwards coach. I'd say they have a simple enough lineup menu going into the game. You'd like to think so, anyway. Mm-hmm. So with that little continuity, hopefully we don't see too much go wrong.
Even when it comes around to the test games, Devin, does it make sense for a team like the Lions, who are patched together, to keep things fairly simple at the lineout anyway? Because I would imagine that it takes a lot of work in the training ground. A lot of games to actually be able to have an intricate system, you probably keep it fairly simple, do you?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think so. Yeah, there's no point at all trying to do anything complicated because it's such a pressure situation, you know what I mean? When you get into the 22, you can't lose that lineout because every moment you get in the opposition 22 is so precious. And you just need to be able to keep possession. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see them going to the front a lot if the box are giving them the front of the line out. The main thing is just keeping possession. And if Hendy sees that they're leaving the front open or in this game or whoever's calling the line out, I say they're going to hit the front and just keep things really simple.
That means if you're on the far side, you're the Springboks. Do you go aggressive against the Lions line out then?
Yeah. Absolutely, especially with the team that they have, because they've got that height. Obviously, with Steph Detoy and Etzebeth and I don't know Ludi Jaeger and Mostert, there's so much height in their squad. If you just get people in the air, it gets in your head. If you're a lineout hooker and you see two pods getting up in the front, in the middle, in the back of the lineout every dime, it's going to be in your head. So that's what you got to do, and that's what the Springboks are going to do. I think they've traditionally had a brilliant lineout. And they're obviously going to go after them, yeah.
Neil, you've been casting your eye over the Sharks team for tonight. What's their forward pack like?
It's a very, very young forward pack, in fairness, now, but they have been doing okay in the Currie Cup, one win and one defeat. Look, the entire pack is completely uncapped so far in terms of international recognition. But I think on the bench they actually do have a couple of decent players. Someone who'd be well known to Irish fans would be Vian Herbst, wearing number 18, their substitute tight head prop, ex of Ulster, played for 5 years for them between 2014 and 2019. 80 games he had for them and 3 tries along that time as well. And one player I'm looking forward to seeing as well, who's also on the bench, is Rainiel Hugo, the 30 or Rainiel Hugo, who is JJ Van der Alexander Mesh. Sorry, I mixed up my players there, who I was reading up. I haven't seen too much of him so far. I have been reading up on him. And in one case, he was described as by a former coach as being a mix between backies both of Victor Matfield and Brody Retallick, which is a pretty serious combination of three second rows to throw in there. So he's someone to look at coming off the bench later on this afternoon as well. Another couple of good players in there. They've got a veteran, Tembelani Boley, who would have scored a couple of tries last time out against the Western Province as well. He's been around the block a long time. He's 31 years of age. And then Pepsi Buthelezi at number 8 as well has had a strong campaign so far as well. Just 22 years of age. But look, it's a very, very young side, even at hooker. They've got a 21-year-old Fez Mbatha in there who hasn't really played too much so far. Did score a try last time out for them as well. But it's a very young, very inexperienced pack. But look, if there's a day where they could actually do something, it's this afternoon when you have a probably very tired Lions team. Some of those players, Josh Adams, to pick out one, playing his having his third start in a row. Ali Price playing his third game in a row as well, having started on Saturday just gone as well. And look, if there's an injury in the back line early on in this match, I'm going to be pretty curious to see what happens, because all they have is Finn Russell on the bench in terms of backline players. Maybe you might see someone like Sam Simmons having to fill in at centre at some point. And even looking across the rest of them, would someone like Talupe Faletau or Hamish Watson go in as a first centre and just crash up a few balls?
Potentially. I'd like to say welcome to our listeners to Off the Ball on News Talk as well. We've been previewing the game on Off the Ball social channels and on OTB Sports Radio for the last hour. Devin Toner, Neil Tracy, who are on commentary for the third warm-up game for the Lions against the Sharks, which goes ahead despite 12 of the Lions players having to isolate as close contacts. One confirmed player with COVID-19 and a confirmed member of the team management earlier today. But the game does go ahead, and extremely important because the Lions have no warm-up game this weekend. Devin Toner, looking forward to the game, which is now just about 10 minutes away from kickoff. What are you expecting from this Lions team, who have had to make a few changes due to those disruptions ahead of kickoff?
Expecting a really physical game. I think I'm looking forward to seeing Curry, the back row, Curry, Simmons and Navidi. I'm looking forward to seeing them getting the ball, especially because of the season that Sam Simmons has just had, and he's a phenomenal player, and obviously Curry's a phenomenal player as well. So really looking forward to seeing the back row get on the ball and just be physical, and just looking forward to a real dynamic game. I think the Lions, they're obviously depending on speed of ball, so we're going to need quick ruck ball, going to need to get the nine in. I think Ali Price is great at getting the ball out quickly, so I think it's just going to be a real physical battle at the ruck time, and obviously I'm going to have an eye on set piece. Hopefully, get a bit of set piece dominance, because that always kind of leads to a good game anyway.
Well, Warren Gatland obviously has recognised the season that Sam Simmons has had coming into this tour. Eddie Jones has consistently not picked him since 2018. He hasn't played international rugby since that defeat against Ireland for England back in St Patrick's Day in 2018. Are you surprised that he wasn't in England's plans over the last couple of years, Devin?
Well, you have to be surprised, don't you? He's got that X factor. He's a Premiership top try scorer of the year, or he set the record. I mean, so it's, and for a back row to do that, it's phenomenal. Like, I think he's been the backbone of Exeter now for the last couple of years, and he's a phenomenal player. Obviously, it's hard to look past Billy as well. He's obviously a phenomenal player as well. So he was obviously keeping out of the team, but I think everyone was kind of a bit perplexed as to why he hasn't got a few more caps anyway.
Neil Tracy, we're building towards kickoff at this stage. Just for anyone who might be joining us on the radio that didn't hear us on the stream earlier, quite a few enforced changes for the Lions with this COVID-19 situation. Can you give us a run through the Lions team there that's been changed around in the last hour?
So there have been four changes to the starting team, Will. All four of those coming in the back line. Ali Price comes in place of Gareth Davies. Owen Farrell is going to start at out half with Dan Biggar sitting out this game. Josh Adams is going to start at fullback. This is going to be his third start in as many games. Liam Williams has had to drop out. And Anthony Watson is also out of the starting team to be replaced by Lewis Rees-Sammet, who scored a try in his first game as a Lion on Saturday. There's also four changes that have had to be made to the substitutes bench. Maro Itoje will replace Tadhg Byrne. Hamish Watson also comes in, as does Finn Russell and Talupe Faletau. while captain Conor Murray, Stuart Hogg and Chris Harris have all had to drop out. So it means that it's a 7-1 split on the bench for the Lions, just one available back on that replacements bench.
Quite a bit of disruption all to the backs, from a forward perspective at least. All those who were named in the team on Monday are actually able to start. Devon, Bundee Aki, we talked about a bit with Tommy Bohr earlier. This is a big opportunity for him over the last couple of warm-up games to stake a place for the test team. It remains to be seen whether it's going to be Owen Farrell playing in the centre or Owen Farrell at 10. We think if Robbie Henshaw's fit, he's probably a starter against the Springboks. Does Bundee Aki have a chance of staking a good claim to be the other centre with either Henshaw or Farrell when the test come round?
He absolutely has a chance, yeah. I think, obviously, Gatland has selected him for that reason. Do you know what I mean? And hopefully he's going to put his hand up here. Like there's a good few games in between here, so there might be a few injuries or whatever. You never know what's going to happen. So I think Bundee has been playing unbelievable for the last couple of years for Ireland, and I think whenever he plays, he puts his body on the line, and he's so skillful and he's just so physical in everything he does. So he absolutely has a chance to put his hand up here for test selection again, whether it is with Robbie in the centre or with Farrell at 10, we don't know. So it's all to be seen.
Yeah, and the word is as well, Devon, he has been working on refining his tackling, which has been a concern. You know, the couple of red cards he's picked up along his career, that, you know, if he's gone up against the box, the last thing you want is to end up with 14 men on the pitch in a test match.
Absolutely. I think it's in his blood the way he tackles it. to hear that he's taken it down a bit is probably good. But obviously he brings that edge to his game whenever he plays. Like,
well, look, we're only 5 minutes away now for kickoff with the Lions against the Sharks. We'll be back with Devon Toner and Neil Tracy bringing us full commentary after this short break.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Quickstar car insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at GetZetGo.ie.